It's an incredible day to celebrate not only these graduates, but this amazing outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this worship team has just so faithfully led us in challenging circumstances. I don't know about you, but I do feel like the Holy Spirit is here with us. There's a presence of God always in our midst. And today, that just feels a little bit more real, I guess. So with graduation and Pentecost, we really have two things that you might think at first glance are totally unrelated, but here's the good news. Jesus gives you words to say and helps you make connections sometimes. And the good news is that there are so many connections between the season of life that our graduates find themselves in and the season that the first believers of Jesus found themselves in the scripture that we're going to hear about today. And I would be willing to bet that for many of us, whether we are older than you, and God forgive us, we will probably try to share every memory under the sun of what it was like when we graduated and how we felt, so just be patient with us. But even for those who are younger than you, we can all kind of relate to what it's like to go through a major transition period in our lives. So with graduation, with Pentecost, you have this passing away of the old and this bringing on of the new, and God shows up in this crazy scene of wind and fire and a beautiful invitation really to everyone, to people from all different viewpoints, all different backgrounds, all different nations. And it's just an incredible scene where we see these early believers trying to understand what it means to move from one point in their lives to another. I know that can be totally unnerving, and so you may feel really excited right now. You may be feeling really anxious right now. I'm sure your parents or your families, if you're not, they're feeling it for you. So that's just going to be a whole big part of the process. And the good news is that God is going to be faithful to walk with you through all of it. For any of us, it's hard. When we find ourselves in those places and we consider who God is creating and calling us to be, the hard news for all of us is that if we really look at Scripture, if we really look at the experience of our lives, the life of faith really is one of continual change. It's one of continual possibility. It's one of continual opportunities. This transition you guys are facing is only the beginning. And that can be overwhelming sometimes, but also can be really exciting. God is always doing something new with us and through us. God is always doing something new around us, and hopefully we're paying attention so that we get to be part of it. And I think that's so much what this scripture at Pentecost is about, this ever-changing, ever-evolving nature of our faith. So before we even hear the sermon this morning, before we even read the scripture this morning, I just want to put it out there. Does anybody know what the word Pentecost means anyways? Anybody? I know, right? It's like this really big Christian churchy word, and we say it all the time, but who knows what it actually means? Well, so I'm here to tell you that if you're confused, you're not alone. Don't let your eyes glaze over for too long. Pentecost is actually a Greek word. Pentecoste means literally 50 days. And in the Christian tradition, it's a reference to the fact that it's been 50 days since we celebrated Easter. Oh, isn't that cool? Somebody say, that's cool, Ashley. Thank you. All right, okay. So that's your only, well, maybe not. That's one of your history and theology lessons this morning. But what's wonderful is that the story of Pentecost and the story of transition, the story of these 50 days is that God is always at work. So I am going to make it a little bit easier this morning. We're going to make it a little bit interactive so we can all pay attention and we can all walk away with something. You're about to face down, Clay, I'm sorry, you've probably already had, like a week of speeches and tears and pictures and all of it. So this morning we're going to keep it hopefully easy to remember. You've got on the screens behind me, on your programs, these three sort of commands that I believe really help root us in this Pentecost scripture. So I want to invite you to say them with me this morning. Ready? Let's go. Be open, be real, be present. Say it one more time. Be open, Be real, be present. Some of them are saying it. This is huge. Let's try one more time. Maybe all of them will. Be open, be real. I see you, Sarah. Be present. Okay, we got it. And Oliver's in here again. He'll help me out. In my opinion, this is really what the Holy Spirit is calling us to do. And when we look at the scripture before us, we see these faithful disciples who are a far cry from perfect, but who are modeling for us what it looks like to follow God, to live into the person, the people, the group of people that God has created and called us to be. And honestly, I think this is a fairly decent way to live your daily lives. Whether you're graduating or going through some other transition in your life, be open, be real, and be present. These words came back to me over and over again as I was reading through the Pentecost scripture. And what I think is great about this scripture too, and I hope that you guys can relate to this, is that when you read it, you hear and you see this newly formed community, right, of faithful, diverse friends, but there's also a lot of strangers, and they're all experiencing this time of transition together. They're facing the transition faithfully, but they're also doing it together. And as they're seeking to follow after this God who has loved them into being, I can't help but wonder if we might all be able to relate to how they were open to the new thing that God was doing in their midst, to how they were real with themselves and with others, to how they were present to the ways that God was moving to the needs of the community right around them. Be open, be real, say it with me, be present. Hold on to these ideas, hold on to this theme, and at this time, I'm going to invite Sahelia to come forward. Sorna, do you want to come too? You're welcome to come with your mom if you want, or you can stay there, that's fine. This is Sahelia Coxside. Maybe, I hope that many of you have been able to meet her and her wonderful daughter, Sorna. I have described them as already having this incredible, vibrant Pentecost faith. They are originally from Iran, and so Persian is their first language. And today, Sahelia is going to read for us a little bit of the Acts scripture in Persian. And friends, we do this often on Pentecost Sunday, and we listen to the words of our faith in different languages, and we celebrate the diversity of the family of Christ. So what we're going to do is I'm going to read a few verses, then she's going to read them for us, and then I'll pick up where she's left off, and we'll keep moving. But I want you to remember as we start, so remember, this is the beginnings of the early church, right? So Jesus has been raised from the dead, has ascended into heaven, and in this moment, the church is together. It's this small community of people, people who likely knew Jesus. He was their teacher, their guide, their friend. And even though they've experienced these wild miracles of resurrection and ascension into heaven, the fact of the matter is he's been gone for 50 days, and that's a long time. So maybe they're sitting with one another, and they're wondering, and they're searching. Who is God calling us to be? So hear these words. Again, I'll be reading from Acts 2 if you want to follow along. I'll read the first four verses in English, and then Sahelia is going to read them for us in Persian. So when Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak.
نزول روح القدس. وقتی روز پینکتیس رسید، همه ایمانداران با هم در یک جا جمع بودند. ناگهان صدایی شبیه وزش باد شدید از آسمان آمد. و تمام خانه‌ای که در آن نشسته بودند پر ساخت در برابر چشم آنان زبانهایی مانند زبانهای آتش ظاهر شد که از یکدیگر جدا گشته و بر هر یک از آنان قرار گرفت همه از روح القدس پر گشتند و به طوری که روح به ایشان قدرت بیان بخشید به زبانهای دیگر شروع به صحبت کردند
Amen. Thank you. Y'all give her a round of applause for being up here. Thank you, Sahelia. takes a lot of courage to come up here and read in front of us, and I'm so grateful. And I hope that in hearing those words, you get a kind of sense of what this is like, right? Gathered together and different languages coming all at the same time. So I'm going to pick up in verse 5. Now there were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and when they heard this sound, a crowd gathered, and they were mystified because everyone heard the disciples speaking in their native languages. And they said, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans? How then can each of us hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own native languages?" They were surprised and bewildered, asking, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." And yet Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people are not drunk as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. It's okay to giggle about that. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke, and the sun will be changed into darkness and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. That's a long scripture, isn't it? And you made it all the way through. I'm proud of you. You guys too. Everybody's doing, you're with me right now. It's important to hear it all though, because again, these people model for us what it looks like to be the people God is calling us to be. So I want you to say the words again with me now, kind of bring you back to me. Be open, be real, be present. So real quick, you get the quick version today. Be open. Remember that as we look at this scripture, these believers have been gathering together. In the first chapter of Acts, we know that they've been getting together consistently. They're praying together. They're sharing meals together. They are with one another, and it's almost as if they are living their lives in this very open, receptive posture towards God. They've totally reoriented themselves. They are expectant and hopeful. They are waiting for this Holy Spirit, but they don't know how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. And rather than retreat and be on their own in this time of transition, they decide that it's better to be available to one another and to be open to what God has to tell them. They knew they needed each other in order to hear and discern the Spirit of God. And I know it's a little bit of a stretch when we read those words, and it's hard to imagine, but I want to push you a little bit this morning to be open yourselves. Try to imagine with me really quick, what would it be like to have experienced the Holy Spirit that way? You've got this great window over here that shows you the dove and the rushing wind and the fire. Those are all symbols representing the Holy Spirit. So can you imagine what it would be like to be in the presence of your friends, your community, and all of a sudden, let's pretend like it happens here. We're in this sanctuary gathered on a Sunday morning, and this loud, loud voice comes through, or this loud rushing wind. We can't hear anything, and all of a sudden our hair is flying everywhere. Graduation caps are probably tossed to the side, papers, bulletins all over the place. And as if it's not crazy enough that we can barely hear one another, and there's all this forceful wind. Can you imagine what it would be like to see flames of fire, like literally flames of fire, in front of yourself, above yourself, and then on the other people around you in the pews? That's kind of crazy. Somehow there's this flame, there's this fire, and it doesn't consume, but it lets us know that something holy is taking place. And then there's this amazing thing that we're open to the Holy Spirit. We're speaking in languages that we don't even know, and we're watching as other people are doing the same. Can you imagine what that would be like? Is it too hard to imagine? I think if we have the love of God in our hearts and we know how much God loves us, it's not too hard to imagine. You know, those flames and that rushing wind, those are things that let us know that God is actually present with us. In the Hebrew scriptures, that rushing wind was something that was hovering above the waters. Remember in Genesis, when God creates, God's spirit is above the waters. That is more like a rushing wind kind of spirit in Hebrew. That fire is something that burned in the burning bush when Moses was spoken to by God, and it went in front of the Hebrew people. So when you think about the Holy Spirit and you're like, what in the world with all of this wind and fire? Know that those are symbols that anchor us and ground us in who God has always called us to be and remind us that God is always with us if we are open to God and to what God is doing in our midst. And with all of those languages, that arrival, that dramatic arrival of the Holy Spirit reminds us of the power of our God, who will stop at nothing to let this world, every single one of us in every single language, know how much God loves us, right? So let's say it again. Be open, be real, be present. Not only do these believers show us how to be open to God, they show us how to be real with ourselves, with one another, and with God. I want you to think about Peter for a minute. So he speaks in this passage of scripture. And what we know about Peter is that he was a fisherman for most of his life. He was never a public speaker or a preacher. And yet somehow he kind of becomes this person who is like the voice of the disciples, right? Whenever Jesus asks a question, Peter's always the first to jump up. It's like somehow Peter's always been, I guess, impulsive and wanting to respond right away. I'm sure we all have people in our lives that we think of when we think about that impulsive speaker. And I think somehow, you know, Peter spent enough time with Jesus that he finally realized, this is who God is calling me to be. I'm the truth speaker. I'm the one that pipes up when everybody else gets quiet. And here, I think Peter really lives into his truth. He's very real, very authentic with himself and with the world around him. And he sees this as an opportunity to explain to those who don't know what's going on, this is the love of God at work in your presence. And when he quotes that passage from Joel about your young people and your old people dreaming dreams, seeing visions, men, women, servants, y'all, he is telling us nothing short of the fact that God loves everyone. There is space for everyone at God's table, and so we've got to be real with ourselves and with one another if we want to really understand how the Spirit is calling us to move in this world. All right, so we're almost there. Let's say it one more time. Be open, be real, Sarah, be present. Oh, she kind of said it at the end there. Well, friends, how can we be ready to move and act as the people of God if we are not fully present to God and fully present to one another? It's such an amazing gift, isn't it, to gather in this sanctuary every Sunday morning, the faithful in Christ. But if we are not present to one another, if we don't put down our phones and turn off the TV and communicate with our families, if we don't stop and look around and understand what's going on in our neighborhoods and the world around us, then we have kept the love of God only to ourselves. And you know what we've really done? We have limited the power of this incredible Holy Spirit to help heal the broken and transform this world. Friends, what might it look like to really be there for our families, our friends, our fellow students, our coworkers, our community and world? What might it look like to be present to those who have been devastated by yet another school shooting? What might it look like to be present to those who suffer from violence in our own community? What might it look like to be present to the survivors of poverty and prison, of homelessness and hunger? Is it too hard to imagine being present to people in that way? If we live with the heart of God's love, then I'm here to tell you it's not too hard. Remember, these young believers show us that when you are gathered together, present to one another, the end of Acts 2, it says that they're all together and no one has need. And if anyone has need, they meet it, they fill it, and they do it together because that's what God is calling them to do. When the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, we are reminded that the power, grace, and love of God are a gift to each and every one of us, young and old, male and female, familiar and foreign, those who are in power, those who have no power. The question to us is, are we willing to actually be together in all of that diversity so that we might recognize what God is doing among us? Can we be open to God, real with ourselves, present to others? Are we brave enough to actually follow the Holy Spirit? Well, I pray that our answer is this resounding yes, and I want to invite our worship team to come forward as we kind of move to our final song of worship. You know, I have to tell you one last thing. The love of God and the joy and surprise power of the Holy Spirit really got to me yesterday. Did anybody watch a wedding? Anybody? Nod your heads, raise your hands. Go on, bring the confessions. Yes, did any of you watch it? It was like really early. Thank you, Jerry. Okay, it was uber early in the morning, only up because I have babies, but it was awesome. I'm so glad I was awake. I knew I would go back and listen to the sermon because the preacher is the head of the Episcopal Church. He's the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church in America, and his name is Bishop Michael Curry, and he is phenomenal. Grace, he spent some time in North Carolina, close to Duke, so I've heard him preach before, and I just knew he would knock it out of the park. But if you've seen it, you know he knocked it like way out of the park in 14 minutes. So what I'm telling you, all of you, is that if you haven't heard it, watch it, go online, find it. If you can't do that, have somebody print it out for you and read it. It's amazing. And throughout his message, he reminded not only Meghan and Harry, he was very aware of his audience. He told the entire world that there is this great power in the love of God. And on this day, when we celebrate the power of that love, we celebrate the Pentecost God that has invited all of us, every single one of us, to the healing and hope that come from the love of God, I want to share with you his words. He says, someone once said that Jesus began the most revolutionary movement in all of human history. It's a movement that was grounded in the unconditional love of God for the world, a movement that mandated people to live that love. And in so doing, they would change not only their own lives, but the very life of the world itself. Friends, that's what today is all about, the power of God's love to heal this world. And whether you're facing graduation or any transition in your life, whatever season you find yourself in, as you go out into this world, you know that you go with the Spirit and with the fire of Pentecost. Know that God does not choose to change this world alone. You are called to live into God's love, and you are called, and you are called, and you are called, all of us. We are all called to live into this love, to be open, to be real, to be present. And in the words of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., discover the power of love, this redemptive power of love, because when we do that, we will make this old world a new world. Amen?